If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts. This is the 16th message from the book of Acts. And we'll be in Acts 19 this morning, verses 1 through 7. This morning's message from Acts does not give place to a message of exhortation. Brother Larry, a few weeks ago, told me, he said, you know, you exhort well. He said, you sometimes, you know, have it to the place that can discourage us because, you know, you're on us so hard, or, you know, on our toes. And yet, this morning's message is not one of exhortation, nor, you know, exhortation is to urge strongly or to advise. That's not this morning's message. Neither does this morning's message give way to edification, which is to strengthen or build up or, you know, encourage. This morning's message is one of education. Knowing that some of the children would be in here this morning, we wanted to speak about something that is pertinent to them, and we hope that they can get something. I know Amanda gave you, you know, a homework assignment that you have to come back next week and tell what you something that you learned. And so the title for this morning's message is Baptized Three Times. Now, that may sound somewhat ridiculous to you, but that's what happens in this passage of Scripture. And yet it's not exactly what you think. And we'll clarify and you'll understand more as we get into the message. It deals with two different subject matters concerning baptism, subjects that have varying opinion throughout different denominations and about religious circles. And they can be very controversial, this subject matter of one of these baptisms. And yet, I'm not saying this morning that there's a right and a wrong. We'll tell you what Paul taught. What I am saying is that the Apostle Paul, on his third missionary journey, this passage comes on his third journey. He has been to Corinth, and, you know, we lose sight that Corinth is simply, you know, that town still exists today. It's close to Greece. It has a different, it's in Greece. It actually has a different name. It's real close to Athens. And in Ephesus, which is modern day Turkey, that there's cities that still exist there where this took place from. This, you know, we want to take the Bible and say, well, this is just some story. This is not story. This is real life. And we have to realize that. And these are not something that someone made up. It's the truth. And it's God's word that was given. But Paul went into Ephesus and into this city. He spends time there, and he realizes rather abruptly that there's a big problem here in the church, and he gives insight to a modern-day question as to what happened when he arrived there. In other words, he goes in, he sees this problem, he addresses this issue of baptism, and at that point in time, we have something that helps us with this same issue in today's world and in our church still today. And it's almost encouraging. It's unbelievable how things of 1,000 and some odd years ago still speak to us today, because the same issues that were there are some of the same issues that we have to address and we face in Christendom today. And so you'll understand more as we get into the message and as we go into the text. But let's read those first seven verses in Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper borders, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there is any Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men who were about 12. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the truths from the Word of God, and yet we understand the confusion that sometimes surrounds doctrine of very importance. And we pray that we can help clarify some of those thoughts this morning. Not that we are always right, not that we are always wrong, but God, we want to clarify what we believe to be the truth this morning from the Word of God about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God, we just pray that you would be with us, lead and guide in this service. And Lord, most of all, we want to be a comfort. Those that have needs, dear God, may you address that this morning from your Word. To those that have turmoil, may you address that this morning from your Word. And dear God, for those here this morning that may not know you as their personal Savior, may it not be made out to be some religious experience, but it be a relationship that they can have with you to find help in the time of need, and most of all, that they can find heaven as a home when we're abruptly sometimes called from this world through death or sickness or maybe your second coming. God, please help them to realize that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The first baptism that we read about there, you see in verse 3, it says, And he said unto them, what then were ye baptized? These people in Ephesus had been baptized. It's obviously, and Paul asked them a question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? That's what he asked them. I mean, the tense of some of the question there in the King James may not be exactly what the question was. But what he says, if you read it in some of the other translation, it identifies it as, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And these people immediately say, well, we didn't even hear about the Holy Spirit. We don't even know that the Holy Spirit exists. That's what they said. Read it there. That's verse 3 and following. And Paul, identifies that there was a reason. Apollos, who it talks about in verse 1, was a very good preacher. And you find about, but he is still preaching this Messiah to come. Just like John the Baptist. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11, it says in... he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And I won't go into what all that verse means, but Paul detected in these people's testimony just by asking them a question, are you saved? That's what he says, more or less. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? And we'll explain that more as we get into it. And Apollos didn't know of the death, the burial, and the resurrection at that time. He was just out preaching what John the Baptist had preached. Our Messiah is coming, and you need to be baptized toward repentance. And so Paul runs into this group of people here, which is after Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And he says, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they say, no, don't know who he is, never heard of the Holy Spirit before. And in doing so, Paul immediately detected that these people were looking for a coming king, and they were not Christians. And let me say, that's where the Jewish nation stands today. They are still looking for a coming king, and he's already came. and they don't understand that they're lost and undone, and if they don't trust Christ as their Savior, then they're not going to spend eternity with Him unless they're one of the 144,000 that are saved. I'm talking God's people. God's people are going by way of the cross just like everybody else. Unless they were born premature to the death, burial, and the resurrection and the gospel, and they are trusting in this baptism of repentance, this was after that. And Paul says to them, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit? He was asking them more or less, are you saved? And we'll explain. But they were trusting in something other than as Christians resting in the finished work of Christ on the cross, and he realized that. He was not judging them. He was not judging whether they were saved or not, like we sometimes do with people. He asked a defining question, and they said, no, we don't know. And so Paul said, hey, you're not saved. You better get this right. They had been baptized under John the Baptist's baptism towards repentance, because that's what the gospel that Paul or Apollos was preaching. And yet Paul said, hey, I'm telling you, you better get this right. You're not saved, because Christ has came. He has died. He has paid the price for your sins. And it's time you get baptized in the name of Christ. And if you do that, then the Holy Spirit living in you, you knowing who the Holy Spirit is, evidence of that salvation. And that's the same as it is today. I'm telling you this morning that there are church members all over this world, all over this country, and maybe sitting in this church, who thinking they are saved and yet hell bound because they are trusting in something other than the finished work of the cross. You say, well, I'm a good person. You're hell bound if you're not trusting Christ as your Savior. Well, I go to church. You're hell bound if you are just going to church. I live a good life. That's the story that someone told me of a friend that I recently preached their funeral. Living a good life does not mean that you're not hell bound. Well, I've never cussed, drank, smoked, or chewed, or run with those that do. Well, you're still hell bound. I give to the church, hell bound. I attend church regularly, hell bound. Was baptized, hell bound. These people have been baptized too. I've joined and am a member, hell bound. I was raised in church, hell bound. It's not about what you are or what you have done. It's all about what He did for you. And if you have not trusted Christ and His finished work on the cross, then you are not going to heaven when you die. Listen to me this morning. I would love to tell you Emily Gaino's story. She's not here this morning. I would have encouraged her to tell it. The first time that Michael and I visited in her home after she visited our church, she told us, she said, I sat as a church member in church all my life, not trusting Christ, trusting my church membership, and I just recently got saved. Is that your story? Do you need to get saved this morning? Because I'm afraid that our churches are full of people that are trusting in something other than the finished work of Christ, just like these people. They had been baptized, but they were trusting in the wrong thing. Because Christ had already came. He had paid the price for their sins, and they had not trusted Him. And that is their first baptism. They were baptized toward repentance, and yet it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And Paul identified that by defining question, Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? And we'll touch more on the third baptism. But then he tells them, then you need to get baptized. You need to get saved. You need to trust Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It says in another place, believe and be baptized. That's what Paul is telling them. You've got to trust Christ and get baptized again. And they did. Verse 5, if you look at it in this passage, it identifies very distinctly. It says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is no right and wrong in what I'm about to say. But they did not let embarrassment, they did not let shame. I'd be embarrassed to tell people I'm not saved. I've been a church member all my life. I don't know how long these people have been baptized in toward repentance, but they realized that they weren't going to make it based on Paul's message. And you may be sitting here this morning and say, I'm not sure heaven's my home. I'm not sure what I'm trusting in is the real deal. And it may be embarrassing. It may be something that you'd be ashamed. But these people said, hey, we understand, Paul. Let's do it right. And they got baptized. They got saved and believed on Christ and were rebaptized. Their second baptism, that's the title of the message, three baptisms. They were baptized the second time. And if you are here today and entrusting in water baptism, a Holy Father sprinkling, sacraments of the church, church membership, your name's on a roll, why don't you come down here this morning and get it right? And do it over. And do the right thing. That's what they did. That's what happened in this passage. There is at least 12 grown men, because it says, and the men were about 12 that were considered disciples even in the verse 1. They were out preaching a gospel, not the gospel of Christ, a gospel of repentance. They were still under Old Testament law. And these 12 men said, we better get this right. And they got baptized again after getting saved and trusting Christ and hearing the truth from the Word of God. Many times, when children are young, they'll get saved at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, 11, 12. And folks will come and they'll say, preacher, should our kids get saved at that young age? The Bible says, suffer not the little children, forbid them to come unto me. Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't discourage them. You say, well, what if they're just doing it because so-and-so did it at Bible school and because such-and-such happened? Are we supposed to allow that to happen? We're supposed to question. Don't judge their motives. Don't judge their motives. I would rather them get saved when they're small and have to come back and do it again. But that's in God's hands, not in our hands. My statement to parents is always this. Better twice than not at all. Better twice than not at all. And yes, they're going to come. And they're going to have questions. And maybe years later, they'll come back and say, well, preacher, I can't remember. I don't remember. What do I do? My daughter was... I've got pictures of her in the baptistry so little that they had to hold her up because the water had been over her head. She was small, 4 or 5 years old. She had heard it. She wanted to get saved. You think I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to tell you about Jesus. I'm going to explain it to it just like I did Darren at 4 or 5 years old. I'm going to sit down right here on this thing and I'm going to say, do you understand what you're doing? And we sit right here together and talk. And the best I can, I'm going to get it on their level and try to say, do you understand that Christ died for you and He paid the price and you need to trust Him? But he may not remember that when he's 16, 17, 18 years old. And he may come back and say, I don't know if what I done was right. Better twice than not at all. Well, let's do it again. Let's just get assurance. You say, well, what about getting baptized? If they got baptized when they was little, should they get baptized again? I'm going to leave that into the Holy Spirit's thoughts and hands and in their thoughts and hands, because the same Holy Spirit that convicted them of the need of assurance or the need to maybe get saved because they don't understand what happened and they can't remember it is the same Holy Spirit that can tell them if their baptism was any good or not. And if they think that they got saved the second time when they came back as a teenager or as an adult at that point in time, or if it was just reassurance, then I tell them, you don't need to get baptized again. You don't have to get baptized that second time. But if you're just now getting saved as a teenager or as a young adult or as an adult, then you need to be rebaptized. But that decision's yours, not mine. You got to know whether or not you're the one that trusted Christ as a 5-year-old or a 6 or 7 or 8-year-old, or you're trusting Him now. And the Holy Spirit can identify that to the individual and their need. I'm not going to make that decision for them. That's their decision. I do tell them this, that baptism is to follow salvation, not be prior to. So if you feel like you just got saved, then you need to get rebaptized again. If you feel like you're just coming back and assuring yourself of your salvation, then I don't think you need to be rebaptized. You say, well, I don't know that I understand. You pious knucklehead. How many times do you stand around and say, God, if I'm not saved, please save me now? Don't act like you haven't done that. But I don't need to get rebaptized again just because I'm getting assurance of my salvation because I did something wrong or confessed some sin that I went off on the deep end and done. I don't need to get rebaptized because baptism is a once. If, in fact, you were saved. But these people were not saved because they didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. And that was how Paul knew they weren't saved, because they did not know who the Holy Spirit was. Because Christ said, when I leave, I'll send you another, the Comforter, and He'll come. And He could tell that these people were not saved because they didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. They didn't identify. And I'll tell you this morning, if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, you're not saved either. Because the Holy Spirit that comes in you, once you are saved, identifies Himself to you in something other than just your conscience speaking. It becomes a still small voice He does that speaks to you whenever you're doing things that you shouldn't do, or to do things that you need to do just for safety and comfort. We talk about safety and comfort all the time. Many is the time I'm driving down the road and go a different way and think, why in the world am I doing this for, when maybe God's saving me from a wreck somewhere because the Holy Spirit leads or guides. That's the Holy Spirit's comfort, watch care, and taking care of us. He guides. He directs. You see, we have to realize that baptism is simply a picture of our salvation. It's an outward showing of an inward act. It's just that simple. And many is the time whenever I ask someone before they get baptized, do you know for sure that you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior? I counsel with everybody before they get in our baptistry every time. I want to make sure whether they're this tall or whether they're this tall, they understand that they've trusted Christ. Because I can tell you, if you're getting in that water unsaved, you'll go in a dry center and come out a wet one and hell bound, because that water has no saving grace at all. It's only the cross of Christ. And just because you get baptized and you join this church does not mean you're a Christian. It's Christ in your heart coming in to save you, and that witness of the Holy Spirit is what it's all about. And if you're here this morning and you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, then you need to get saved. That's what Paul said to them, and I say it over to you. You see, there's a third baptism, and I'm not going to have time to finish this, but I'm going to tell you this. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's what Paul showed these people here. And the controversy does not surround the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And it's and we'll lay it out in Romans and Corinthians what it is. But the Bible says that you were all baptized, the third baptism, into one body. And that baptism is the Holy Spirit coming inside of you. The Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And there's some things that go along with that that we'll touch upon tonight. But this morning, the emphasis is on, do you know for sure that what you're holding on to? Do you know for sure that what you have? Are you aware of your condition? That's what Paul was saying to them, and that's what I say to you. Are you aware? What are you trusting in? What is your trust in? These people's trust was in a Messiah to come. He had already came and gone. They didn't realize it. What is your trust in this morning? Are you hanging on to church membership? Are you hanging on to water baptism? Are you hanging on to your good works? What is it? If it's anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and His blood that paid the price for your sins, then you're holding on to the wrong thing. The wrong things. And I'm telling you, our churches are full. Denomination rolls are full, good, bad, and ugly, of people that are unsaved. And the third baptism, which we'll talk about this evening, proves it. That's what Paul said. You don't have any evidence. There's no proof. You say, well, that's judging. No, it's not judging. It's a factual happening that takes place. And if it doesn't take place or didn't take place in you, you're not saved. You're not saved. That's what Paul said. You're not saved. A lot of people, they can come with the wrong motive. Not saved. You can pray the prayer and not be saved. I promote praying the prayer right in the seat for those that won't come forward. Pray it right there. Trust Christ where you stand. That's the most important thing. But I can tell you, for a fact, that if you have not trusted Christ, all your emphasis on trusted Christ, and you don't have the Holy Spirit's indwelling inside of you, and the evidence of that you know, not I know. Paul didn't say, well, I don't see no evidence. They give him the proof. We don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. You know whether or not you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. That's what took place in this passage. We don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? He wasn't judging them. They just point blank told him, we're not saved. We only know who the Holy Spirit is. Because the Bible teaches us that if you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. And in turn, what we'll deal with tonight is that you should glorify God in your body. There comes the evidence. There's people that will tell you because of what happened in this passage, the speaking of tongues and prophecy, that's the only evidence. That's not true. That's not true. Because the Holy Spirit indwells everybody. And we as Christians can judge ourselves and other folks by their own response and answer of, do you know who the Holy Spirit is? Has He lived inside? Is He living inside of you? You see, we have got to get to the place that we realize that this third baptism is what makes the difference. It's what shows. Oh, there's other ways to know you're saved. Change life. That's part of this third baptism. You know, if there's no changed life, then you're going to see chastening and conviction. That's part of a way to know you're saved. But Paul says here, Holy Spirit's a way too, because he knew they were not saved because they didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. And in turn, they trusted Christ, they got baptized, they received the Holy Spirit, and they evidenced it in speaking in tongues and prophesying in this passage. It's right there, point blank obvious. We want to put all the emphasis on the speaking in tongues and the prophesying instead of in the obedience to the Holy Spirit and living the changed life. And therein lies a lot of the problems. Let's stand.